Fate plays no favorites. It could happen to you.
Book 63, page 209.
In the Diary of Fate.
Yes, here it is. The name Philip Vail. Yes, Philip. In the eyes of the state, your name is spelled in numbers. You live in a narrow cell with narrow men. And there you shall remain for the rest of your natural life. Yet had it not been for a little thing, a trifle, today you would be free and wealthy. Now, too late. You see that the little things are all part of a plan, which once set in motion, continues unwaveringly to the end ordained. And nothing, no, not even I, fate, can alter its course. As this man, Philip Vail, moves through a life now shorn of meaning and stripped of purpose, you who listen may think me unfair. But first, pay heed, for soon I will read from his record in The Diary of Fate. I hope you'll understand. Of Philip Vail now lies open before me. And for a moment, I, fate, look to a single horrible instant.
I've got the bond certificate and...
And what, Philip? What is it?
A surprise. Close your eyes.
You have a surprise for me.
Yes, I do. Come on now, close your eyes.
All right. Just as you say. They're closed.
Tight now.
Yes, in the life of Philip Vail, a surprise was planned. And so was death. But in the last analysis, it was a common, seemingly unimportant thing that determined the inevitable conclusion. An overturned cup. A train missed by seconds. A lost pocketbook. Trivia? Yes. And yet these little happenings are the very instruments I, fate, employ in shaping your destiny. Remember, Philip, how it all started? You were riding on a train, looking out of the window. Remember?
Pardon me, sir. Are you Philip Vail?
Oh, yes, I am. You're sure?
Of course I'm sure.
But I don't believe I know you.
Well, my name is Remini, Douglas Remini. Here's your fountain pen. You left it on the table in the club car.
What? Oh, by golly, so I did. Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Luckily, your name was on it. Mind if I sit down?
Oh, no, no, not at all. Here, let me move these papers.
No, thanks. Cigarette?
Oh, yeah, yes, thank you. You know, I'm glad this happened. Traveling alone is very dull.
A little thing. A lost fountain pen. And out of it, a friendship. Yes, Philip. Within an hour, you had learned that Douglas Remini was a wealthy man, an investment broker. And soon the two of you went back to the club car. The drinks you consumed caused you to freely confide in your now attentive companion.
Oh, yes, Andrews is rich, all right.
And one day, every dollar she has will be mine. And I can't stand her. You see, Mr. Remini...
No. Douglas. Douglas will do.
Douglas. Well, you see, I thoroughly dislike her prim manner, and I despise her Victorian self-righteousness. I'd rather make my money in a good, solid deal. Like the one you just spoke of. Rather do that than wait for Aunt Ruth to die.
You don't sound very concerned for your Aunt Ruth's health.
I'm not. But I'm certain that the sanctimonious Ruth Vale will outlive both of us.
And how old a woman is she?
Oh, close to 70. Uh-huh. And you believe it or not, she's already been on her deathbed 4 times. But she always pulls through.
Won't give up the ghost, huh?
No, she thinks death is only for the common man.
And you, Philip, are her favorite. Is that it?
Yeah, subject to change without notice, I am.
I see. Aunt Ruth demands someone loyal to look after her and her money.
Uh-huh.
Not a bad job.
Not if I watch my step, it isn't. But don't you forget, Douglas, there are others in the family.
But they don't love her quite as much as you do, huh?
Nobody loves Aunt Ruth like I do.
Water Route Limited, leaving on track 27 for Albany.
No, we'll have to take separate cabs, Douglas. I'm not staying with Aunt Ruth. It's too gloomy in her place. I'll be at the Raymond Hotel.
All right, I'll call you there in the morning.
Huh?
I suppose you still insist that I take this check?
Absolutely. If you can turn $500 into $1,000 in 24 hours, I want to be your partner.
Yeah, but you don't know anything about me.
That's my risk. Well, you call early tomorrow and we'll have lunch together.
Okay. Oh, and by the way, I hope Aunt Ruth isn't feeling too well.
Well, thanks. Thanks very much.
Yes, Philip. Douglas Remini shared your sentiments about your aunt and about money. You had found a partner. The thought comforted you that evening at the Vale home when you talked to the family physician and learned that your aunt was still far from the grave.
I see, Dr. Kopeck. Then as long as Aunt Ruth is in good spirits, we have nothing to worry about.
Well, it's not that simple, Philip. There is danger. After all, she's passed 68 years, and she's led our most active life.
Yes, of course. I understand perfectly.
Good. I'm sure your presence will be a tonic. Well, must be on the way now. Good night, Philip.
Good night, Doctor.
We have guests, Philip.
No, Aunt Ruth. Dr. Colfax just left.
I'm glad. Man is hardly sociable with all his idiotic talk about my way of life. I buy his knowledge of drugs and not his shallow philosophy.
Well, nevertheless, you've got to take it easy, Aunt Ruth. Now that I'm here, you must forget about business and just relax. Completely.
Well, not that easy, Philip. I didn't get what I have by relaxing, and I can't make money if I forget about business.
Aunt Ruth, I thought we discussed that thoroughly at dinner.
We did. And I am going to let you run things, Philip, once you've proven yourself. But you still have much to learn, so we'll move slowly from the outset.
Aunt Ruth, can't you ever lose the picture of me as the little boy vacationing from prep school? You know, in 2 days I'll be 35.
Oh, now, don't be impatient, Philip. A sign of poor breeding. You inherited that from your mother's side of the family, I'm sure.
Well, very well, Aunt Ruth. I won't discuss it any further. The results will speak for themselves. I'll get it.
Where is Henry? Why, I keep a butler that goes to bed every night at 9 o'clock at the answer.
Hello?
Is that you, Phil?
Oh, hello, Douglas. Didn't expect to talk to you until morning.
I couldn't wait that long. Wanted to tell you that the deal's gone through already.
So soon?
Yep. You can have your check by noon tomorrow.
What? Pull out now? No, sir. I'll give you a check then. And a bigger one. A $500 profit in less than 8 hours.
What are you mumbling about, Philip? Not polite.
Nothing, Aunt Ruth. Nothing at all. Well, shall we get to work now? The bond, I mean.
There's little to do. I've arranged with Hoffman to give you my limited power of attorney and a certified check for $20,000. Tomorrow, you simply go to Hepworth and Parsons.
Hepworth and Parsons? Not the railroad issue.
Well, of course, Philip. The railroad issue. It's safe. Pays a steady 1.5%.
Are you blind, Aunt Ruth? Are you still living in the 1890s?
Philip.
Today, now. Why, there are 6 ways for us to double that $20,000 in less time.
You will get the railroad bond. My mind is made up.
Honestly, Phil, you're like a kid with a new toy.
A $500 toy.
That's what I mean. Well, I made $15,000 on that deal, and I'm not half as excited as you are. What's more, I intend to do it again today.
Well, give me time. I'll get used to big money.
No, it doesn't work that way. In this business, my boy, time and money are one and the same thing. You've got to have the cash in exactly the right place at exactly the right moment. Oh, by the way, here's your check.
No, you keep it. Reinvest it for me. I like the way you do business.
Well, everyone always tells me there's nothing I don't know about the market. Now, you watch. In a week, the market will be dead.
What are you saying?
That you can make almost dollar for dollar today, maybe even tomorrow.
But after that?
Well, conditions change, Phil. Maybe a month, maybe a year before I'd move again.
I'm glad you told me that. Douglas, I have a certified check in my pocket for $20,000. Will you handle it?
For 50% of the profit? Yes.
All right, it's a deal.
Yes, Philip, you made a decision. You converted your aunt's check into cash and gave the money to Douglas. There would be time later to buy the railroad bond, and your mind was at ease that night when you dined with your aunt, or you could see riches for yourself within the next 24 hours.
Did you enjoy your dinner, Philip? Philip, I'm talking to you.
Huh? Oh, excuse me. I guess my mind was elsewhere.
I've noticed that this evening, Philip, and I don't approve.
Sorry, Aunt Ruth. I've had a busy day.
What did Mr. Hepworth say this afternoon?
Mr. Hepworth? Oh, at Hepworth and Parsons. Why, he thought the railroad issue was an intelligent buy. He said that we should...
Philip, stop that. Stop lying.
What do you mean?
Mr. Hepworth died 13 years ago.
Well, it must have been... Well, I suppose
you talked to just anyone.
Yes, that's it. I mean, I didn't know his name.
It's the sort of thing I don't like, Philip. If you're to handle my affairs, you must be 100% thorough. Where are the bond certificates?
The certificates? They're in my hotel room.
In your hotel room? Philip, they belong here, in my safe. Be certain you bring them tomorrow.
Yes, Aunt Ruth. I'll be certain to have them for you.
Yes, Philip. By then you would have the bonds. Aunt Ruth would be satisfied, and you would be rich. You were impatient the next morning as you waited in your hotel room for a call from Douglas.
Hello?
Philip?
Is the deal through? Is it over with? How much did we make?
Oh, look, Phil, this is a funny business. Nobody hits it on the head every time.
What do you mean? What are you trying to say? Doug, tell me.
Huh? You lost, Phil. We both lost every penny, but it's not the end of the world.
Not for you, it isn't.
Now, get hold of yourself. I lost, too. Tomorrow's another day, and the market's still right. If we can cover ourselves, we've nothing...
Listen to me, Douglas. That $20,000 wasn't mine.
What?
That check I cashed. It belonged to my aunt. I was supposed to buy railroad bonds for her. I never can tell her I used the money for myself. She'll disown me.
What are you going to do?
There's only one thing for us to do.
Us? What are you saying?
Listen, Doug. You and I are still partners. If I'm discovered, I'm ruined. Forever. She has thousands, Douglas, hundreds of thousands, and if we're smart, the money is ours.
Yeah, but what can we do?
Only one thing. We'll get rid of her. Kill her.
There was no doubt in your mind, was there, Philip? Now you decided to kill Ruth Vail. Now it was too late to turn back. Soon you would move again. And soon I, Fate, would record another entry in the Diary of Fate. Convinced that your aunt had to die immediately. Even as you drove with Douglas over a deserted back road and discussed for the last time the details of your scheme for murder, your mind ran ahead to the moment when there would be no Ruth Vail, when you and Douglas would be rich.
But how about the servants, and what if she sees you with a gun in your hand?
She won't see anything. I just told you how I'd do it.
You really think you can make it look like suicide?
Sure. I've already called and made an appointment for 9 this evening. I said I wanted to give her the bond certificates and something else. Something I ran across while shopping.
Oh, you mean a present?
Yes, a present. She was almost thrilled, too. You see, from 9 o'clock on, she'll be in the library like she is every night. The butler will be asleep. I'll tell her I have a surprise. Make her close her eyes. Then
you approach without resistance, fire, put the gun in her hand, and you call for help.
I'll say we argued. The gun will be her late husband. I know where it's kept. I'll say I was at the door when the shot rang out.
Yeah, but why should Ruth Vail commit suicide, Philip?
Because she's despondent, lonely. I refused to live at her place, wanted my own life. So people will criticize the selfish nephew at first, but no one will ever suspect me. And then there's the doctor.
Where does he fit in?
Dr. Colfax is Aunt Ruth's personal physician. His testimony will substantiate her suicide. You see, Douglas, I'm going to talk to him now.
Sorry I kept you waiting, Philip. What's your trouble?
It's about Aunt Ruth. Dr. Colfax, may I speak frankly?
Of course, my boy. What is it?
I'm worried, Doctor. Worried about Aunt Ruth, her frame of mind. Doctor, last night she threatened to take her life.
What?
We had an argument. She, you know how hard it is to work with her. She's so set in her ways. You see, she wants me to take over her business affairs.
I advised that a year ago.
But she simply refuses to let go of the reins.
Tell me, Philip, what happened last night?
Oh, I objected to her half measures. She tells me to use my own judgment, then interferes. We were both excited, I suppose, but it ended with me threatening to go back to Syracuse. Then she said she'd kill herself if I left.
I've known all along your aunt was lonely, Philip, but she never appeared despondent to me.
And she hides under a cloak of severity. Yet the strange thing is that she changes in a matter of minutes. Why, only this morning she called and invited me to a dinner for 2 this evening. Said we'd be alone to catch up on the family gossip. She was almost gay, Doctor, and never even mentioned the argument we'd had.
I see. Well, my boy, I don't think you've anything to worry about. Ruth Vail, if I may be blunt, is an unfortunate combination of hysteria and old age. Nothing more, I'm certain.
I'm glad to hear you say that, Doctor. I've been very concerned. You won't say anything about this, my visit, I mean.
Of course not. And don't worry, Philip. Everything will be all right.
Yes, Philip, everything would be all right. You were certain of that as you sat alone in your hotel room that evening and meticulously rechecked the details of the crime you were about to commit. Finally, you were ready. You descended to the lobby and cheerfully talked, first to the elevator operator, and then to the night manager. When you entered the hotel jewelry store, you were in high spirits.
Good evening, sir. Can I show you something?
Yes, I'm looking for a necklace. Something simple, but not too expensive.
Uh-huh. Something for your wife, sir?
No, it's for my aunt. She's an elderly woman.
Oh, mm-hmm. In that case, may I suggest a brooch rather than a necklace? Now, this topaz crown is lovely.
No, I don't think she'd like that. But let me see that green one there.
Ah, an exquisite design in jade, especially fitting for an older lady.
Yes, I believe you're right. I'll take it.
Fine, sir. I'm sure it will make her happy.
Yes, Philip. You were careful to appear unlike a man about to commit murder. You had the jeweler wrap the package attractively after you had inserted a card addressed to my dear Aunt Ruth. Yes, you were thorough. And an hour later, as you and Douglas drove in his car toward your aunt's house.
Now, you sure you know your job, Douglas?
I'm positive. After you leave me at the club, I'll mix and get around, appear gay. When I hear the news, I'll be shocked.
That's it. That's all. Good heavens, of all the luck. A blowout.
Oh, confound it, and a mile from nowhere.
Yes, a little thing. A tire blew out. And now, Philip, your schedule for murder was upset. While Douglas worked feverishly to change the tire, you walked to the drugstore nearly a mile away and called your aunt to explain the delay.
But you're sure you're not hurt, Philip?
I'm fine, Aunt Ruth. It's just that I'll be at least another half hour.
Oh, well, that's all right. Mr. and Mrs. Ballas are here now, Philip. You remember them.
I thought we were going to be alone.
Oh, they'd leave soon after you get here. It was just a business matter.
Look, Aunt Ruth, I'm sort of upset now, being so late, and I'm not sure when my friend will have the tire changed. I wonder...
If we could make it tomorrow night instead. Well, that would be perfect, Philip, perfect. Then we'll be certain to have some privacy.
Fine. Well, good night, Aunt Ruth.
Oh, Philip.
Yes, Aunt Ruth?
What was it you got for me today?
Oh, that? That's still a surprise, Aunt Ruth. A big surprise.
Yes, you still had a surprise for your Aunt Ruth, Philip. But now it was postponed 24 hours. A little thing. A tire blew out. And because of it, Ruth Vale lived another day. The next night you arrived at her house and parked in front of the dimly lighted building. You watched until a few minutes after 9 when the light went off in the butler's room. Then a strange tenseness gripped you as you quietly let yourself in the front door with the key your Aunt Ruth had provided. Stealthily moved to your late uncle's room, and as you took his loaded pistol from a desk drawer, your face was beaded with perspiration. But finally, you were ready. As you walked to the library, your hand opened and closed nervously around the neatly tied package you held.
Who is it?
It's me, Aunt Ruth.
Oh, come in, Philip. I'm waiting for you.
Where are you?
Over here in the armchair. Don't bother turning on the light. It's restful with just the light from the fireplace.
Yes, it is. I've got the bond certificates and...
What, Philip? What is it?
A surprise. Close your eyes.
You have a surprise for me.
Yes, I do. Come on now, close your eyes.
All right. Just as you say. They're closed.
Tight now.
Yes, Philip. You took the only way out. In the cloister of the darkened family library, you fired a single shot. And your aunt was dead. And now, lest any who listen think that I, fate, am without regard for the inevitable equilibrium of the delicate scales of justice, I implore you to pay heed. For in a moment, I will read again from the record of Philip Vale in The Diary of Fate. Nature follow the same pattern. Yes, Philip Vale, for every action, there is a reaction equal in intensity and opposite in direction. Time and again, your remorse-filled mind goes back to the night you murdered Ruth Vale.
Close your eyes.
You have a surprise for me.
Yes, I do. Come on now, close your eyes.
All right. Just as you say. Let's close.
Tight now.
Turn on the light.
He shot
him. Oh, my
God.
Oh, no.
Doctor,
Mrs. Bailey, I saw him.
Yes.
Sandy, what are you doing here? No.
You drop that gun. Drop it.
But all of you here. Why? Why?
This was to be a surprise party for you, Philip.
Yes. Birthday.
Now it is time to close the book. Justice has been served. Little thing. A misplaced fountain pen. A train friendship. A flat tire. A forgotten birthday which I, fate, planned. All seemingly minor things. But these are the tools with which I work. Yes, justice was dealt swiftly. And now Philip and Douglas sit in their cells cursing me, fate. Take heed and remember, you who listen, for there is a page for you in
The Diary of Fate. Produced by Larry Finley, Diary of Fate is a Finley transcription brought to you from Hollywood.